Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and today is going to be exciting. We have somebody very accomplished, which is exciting for me because I love digging into people's backgrounds, what they do, and how they do it. So that being said, Mr. Jay Lucas, are you ready to roar, my friend?
Ready to roar, John. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So Roar Nation, Jay is an accomplished businessman. He's an author, a leader, and a philanthropist. He believes in the power of positivity, patriotism, and community engagement. He is actively spreading his message through his best-selling book, American Sunshine, Rays of Hope and Opportunity. An example of service, Jay served as an elective state rep while still in college at Yale. He then earned his MBA from Harvard Business School and his law degree from Harvard Law School. We'll dig into that. Sounds like fun. He is now the chairman and managing partner of the Lucas Group. Jay and his team focus on specialized needs of private equity investors and their portfolio companies. From community initiatives to investment insights, he brings great experience to the show. So, all right, Jay, it sounds like you've done a lot of stuff.
Well, that's a wonderful intro. I hope I can live up to it, John.
We just
so much for the kind words.
That's exciting. So that obviously barely scratches the surface. So, Jay, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. And I think to understand who I am, it really goes back to where I grew up. And I think many of the listeners can probably identify with this. I grew up in a small town, a rural sort of area in the western part of New Hampshire, beautiful little town called Newport, about 5,000 people. And that is what I consider home. From there, as you say, I've kind of gone on to college and law school and business school and a career in business over the last many years. But I've also found really much of my purpose in serving, and that is serving both in politics and government at one time, but then also giving back to the community in a variety of different ways, which is what I'm primarily engaged in now in the time that I'm not actually engaged in business.
Okay. I'm just curious on, as your start, dude, and through life, maybe right now or through life or this season, do you have kind of a scripture that comes to your mind or a success quote that kind of you live by?
Yeah, I actually do. I do have one favorite and I come back to it time and time again, but it's a very optimistic sort of positive view about belief, and you'll recognize this immediately, but it's, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. And that unto you. And that's really what I live by.
I'm really curious, what does that mean to you? Like when you say you live by that, ask and you shall find, seek and knock, what does that look like to you in your life?
To me, the two words that really epitomize that are faith and gratitude. Having the faith that there's a certain power that gives you the opportunity to be all that you can be, and gratitude that it has been given to you. And I think with that gratitude, it opens up a feeling, if you will, an openness of when you can just let all of that power sort of shine inside you. That's what it means.
That's really interesting. I was actually doing a study on that this morning, which I kind of obviously is not ironic. I mean, it just obviously happened on purpose. So I just think it's interesting that a lot of times it's hard in life, you know, for maybe some listeners who say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful about, or they're going through a hard time. And I hear people say that. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you? Because, you know, and I'm just being honest with you, when I read your, on the outside, sometimes it's easy to look at somebody and say, well, they're successful and they've been to big schools and they've done things like that. Life must be easy for them. And I know that's not true, but some people see that. For you, how have you pushed through that? I mean, even when things aren't, how are you thankful?
Well, let me just start with your your observation, John. It is the description from the outside often makes it sound very, very easy, and it sounds like everything is good. But I'm here to tell you it's not. You know, what you just said is it's not true that everything is fine and good and just always goes the right way. you know, the way you describe my life, it sounds like everything's been easy along the way, but it hasn't, you know?
Right.
I run into him every day. I run into him now. And one of the approaches I've taken is that there is always something to be thankful for. And you really do have to develop a capability to, when you find those obstacles, just have a belief that if you really do believe that in every problem contains the seeds of its own solution, and that everything happens for a reason. And maybe you would not have wished for that problem or that hurdle to be in front of you at that moment, but just know that it's going to strengthen you, and that there really is something better that's down the road. Just have to kind of push through, and it's going to come to you. And I think if you do that, and you try to do that consistently, you find that to be true, and it really does work for you. I'm not saying that it's easy, because there's so many times when you say, gee whiz, if I'd only gotten that business deal, or if my son or my daughter had only achieved whatever, then things would be perfect. But the world doesn't really work that way. And you find these setbacks. And I think the true test of an individual is to have faith in those hard or difficult times, and to be able to push through and to get to that other side. And when you do, that's a great feeling. I mean, it's quite close to another belief that I have. And that is that really one of the greatest feelings in the world, and I love to share this with other people, is the feeling or the satisfaction that comes from what I call earned success. So that if you can go out there and earn something and feel like you've achieved, there's a certain feeling of just fulfillment that comes with that, that I think is like nothing else. And once you begin to experience that a few times, it snowballs. It's got a very virtuous cycle starts to develop. And that's and then with that power that you develop, then I think it's much easier to push through those difficult times.
Absolutely. Love your answer. And also have to quote you on that one, but you said, have a belief that every problem has a seed of solution. So that was really good. Jay, why don't you take me down? Obviously, it sounds like you've done a lot in business. And what kind of got you into that or made you start down the path of going into business? Did you feel called and just internally or what?
Well, actually, I didn't start out thinking that I would be in business, John. I started out, as you mentioned earlier, in college. I'd always thought that I would be involved in some form of government service. To me, that probably meant a profession as a lawyer, because many lawyers are involved in government. I had mentors growing up who were lawyers, and I looked up to them. And so when I went through college, and I actually did run for election to the New Hampshire State House of Representatives, and was fortunate enough at the age of 19 running and elected at 20, I served two terms. So I was elected and served on the House Judiciary Committee, and which is a great learning experience. And through that, I think that probably even solidified the thought that I would probably also go to law school and become a lawyer. And I did go to law school. But what I found, and the reason that I got into business and have made that my primary career, is that what I found is that what you can go create and is very meaningful. You can have a huge impact on the world in a relatively short period of time and have great flexibility in the choices that you make to go create and essentially do good. Do good for other people, give them opportunities, but also build things. Build things that'll last and that will provide wealth, but also these opportunities for what I call earned success. Again, and it's really exciting and it's really fun. It's also intellectually challenging. So that's why I've chosen business. But I was also, now looking back, everything sort of sounds planned. But in truth, there's so much of life that's opportunistic. And my opportunity came when I was in business school during my summer internship. I was offered an opportunity to work at an expanding, exciting, growing firm, actually in Boston, called Bain, B-A-I-N. And Bain has now, over the years, has become, well, I think I joined when there were 80 or 100 people, and today there may be 10,000. I was one of the early partners. But the whole ethos of Bain was to go create value in companies. How do you build companies? How do you use data analysis, just smart thinking to go get things done, drive value to the bottom line, but also grow, really with a focus on growth. And it was an enormous amount of fun to be involved in that. And that was really my formative experience. I was invited to be part of that group and spent almost 10 years there. And that's really how I got into business.
So I'm just curious, on that journey, did you kind of have like that moment where you've gone to school, you thought you're going to get into politics. It sounds like you kind of stepped into business, but did you kind of have that moment internally where you thought, this is what I'm called to do, or this really excites me or gives me energy?
Yes, I really did. I remember driving out in the Midwest one evening, because the job that I was doing, and still continue to do, I do pretty much 24/7. So I'm we're out there trying to make things happen all the time. And I was driving late one evening after having gotten into O'Hare Airport, and I'm driving down the freeway, headed to a business in the dark of night. And I'm thinking about how exciting it was, what I was doing, that we had teams of people doing creative things, that they were turned on, motivated, helping businesses grow, finding new opportunities. And I went, kind of ticked through my mind the three or four things that I had on the plate at that moment, and began to add up all the opportunities I was creating for people. And I vividly remember that. That was just a really formative moment for me. And I said, hey, this is what I really am good at. This is what I'm called to do. And it's motivating teams. It's getting initiatives together. It's going out and trying to create results that are going to give people this opportunity for earned success.
So once you figured that out, like internally, and you thought, hey, I'm really good at that, I like this, were you already doing that full time, or did you make more of a transition into that because you realized you liked it?
No, I was actually already doing it full time, and I thought of it more as a realization that this is really cool.
Yeah,
I'm really fun. I'm motivated. I'm excited. It was really great. But what it has done, and you make a great point, John, it does create a realization that makes you then begin to use your imagination to say, if this is what I'm really good at, what are the other venues that I might be able to deploy these capabilities? What are some of those places where I could deploy it and even have a higher impact or a higher value? And so over time, I've begun to find some of those outlets, and it's been a really exciting journey for me.
Okay, yeah, let's dive into that. So now that you've made that transition shift, you realize that, and you said it's been exciting. What have you done? What's been exciting about that? What journeys have you taken?
Well, I've taken journeys. Yeah. some really good journeys. The first one would be to then start my own business. So I mentioned that I was working for this growing and subsequently large firm called Bain, helping companies grow. And I decided that rather than be a small cog in a very big wheel, that I should be entrepreneurial. I wanted to be entrepreneurial, really, from the start. I think that's in my nature. And I decided to start my own firm called the Lucas Group, which I started back in the 90s and have grown. And it gave me much more latitude, much more freedom to go create and do interesting things and be, I think, more productive and have a greater impact. Having done that for a number of years, so that'd be journey number one. Journey number two, if I may, is after a number of years into it, I began to look at what was going on in my home state of New Hampshire, and it began to feel as though it was getting off track in the sense that many of the traditional values that I had grown up with and believed in, things like freedom and liberty and vibrant business focus and education, I just were becoming lost. So I decided to try to do something about it. And back in 1998, I actually ran for governor in the state of New Hampshire and won my party's primary nomination. And although I lost in the general election, it was a very formative experience for me, and one that I wouldn't trade, because it gave me great insight, gave me what I believe is great insight into how to solve problems within the government sector, but also got to meet so many great people. It was a phenomenal experience. And if I'll just go on to a third one, I'll just mention a third and fourth journey, if you will. More recently, I've been developed my own investment fund where we're acquiring small brands that are consumer-focused brands, where we can invest in the brands, bring capabilities to those brands, primarily in the beauty business, in skincare, hair care, cosmetics, and helping these entrepreneurs take their startups and their growing companies and take them to the next level. And we have 9 of those brands, and we're growing them. And that's really fun because you're really working with entrepreneurs who are absolutely passionate about their businesses, and they know that their product is the best product for a particular benefit. They also typically are focused on natural and organic kinds of ingredients. They're concerned about the environment. We together want to have a socially positive impact, and we're helping some communities in Africa and South America as we do this. And then lastly, I'll just mention much more recently, I've gone on a journey, which is, I don't know that I've ever done anything more exciting or rewarding than what I've been doing in the past year. And that is, I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation that I started out, grew up in the town of Newport, New Hampshire, a small town in the western part of the state. And it is a town that, like so many other towns in our country, 30 and 40 years ago, was a bustling town with a vibrant main street where you could identify all of those independent shopkeepers up and down the street. And you go back there now and you don't see the same place. You see there are vacancies on the main street. Many of the jobs have left town. In New Hampshire and some other places, we have an opioid crisis that's quite severe. And so it's just not the same place it was. So earlier this year, another driving moment, John, as I was driving through town, I actually had this revelation where I thought, you know what? I'm going to change this. We're going to revitalize Newport. And so we started. And over the past number of months, we have made terrific progress and on a number of initiatives. In fact, we're calling this overall program the Newport Sunshine Initiative. And the reason is that Newport, for many, many years, has had a nickname. It's been called the Sunshine Town. And it's because a vaudeville performer back in the 1930s came into town and proclaimed from the stage, Newport, it's the Sunshine Town. It's the town where the sun shines on both sides of the street. And so that has stuck. And so we've named this the Newport Sunshine Initiative, with the thought being that we're going to bring the sunshine back to Newport.
I love
that. Those are some of the major parts of my life journey, John.
That's exciting for me. What I hear you saying kind of repetitively is you've just stepped out, you've seen something that needs to be fixed, and you've taken the initiative to be the change instead of waiting for somebody else to do it.
I think that's, you know, I hadn't really capsulated it that way myself, John, but I think that's absolutely spot on. I think that's very perceptive. I've had the great fortune of being able to have these opportunities put in front of me, and a family and a support system and friends who have really supported me in these efforts. And I think that makes a huge amount of difference. Clearly, I think to have those great bonds and support, so you're not just doing it all by yourself, but you can lead these things and you can make things happen. And it's getting past the fear sometimes for a lot of people to simply not conform and kind of go along, but instead kind of step out. And what I have found is that 9 times out of 10, when you take that chance, you're going to find if you've got confidence and you've thought it through and you believe in yourself, you're going to be very successful.
I would love to dive into that. You made two comments right now. You talked about getting past the fear. And my favorite part of this show is the journey. And what I want to ask you is there been a part, whether it was in the politics or even something recent, where you felt like, kind of, I call it, it couldn't be worse than this. So you're just like, God, I really need you to show up. And because I just don't know what to do. And you kind of question maybe that moment, like, should I have done this? Is this the right decision? Anything like that. And then all of a sudden you get through it and you're able to look back and you just see how God just showed up in the situation. And it was so exciting. You're like, wow, you were hoping he was going to do it. You kind of knew he was going to do it, but then you still kind of had doubt and then he does it. And it was kind of like, I told you so. And you're like, wow.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And John, here's recent vivid memory. So here I was. Coming back to the Newport Sunshine Initiative. Now, think about this. This is. I've simply had the revelation driving through town that I really want to change the trajectory of the town I grew up in. And so, what do you do? Well, here's my story. So, what I did, because I don't live in Newport, I live on the other side of the state, and I spend a lot of my time traveling. But I do come through Newport on occasion. And before I really wanted to. Knew that I should jump in and do this. I wanted to kind of test it a little bit. So I called up, of all people, I thought, you know, my high school teacher, his wife also, and I figured if they've been teaching for so many years, it's going of Newport people, and give me that pulse. So my wife and I had brunch together with them and kind of get a barometer on what was going on. They introduced us also to the school superintendent. We toured and get a sense for what was happening in town. And from that background, I wanted to go forward. And so one evening earlier this year, I sent out an email to some people in the town that I had known. And the email essentially said, there's going to be a meeting on Friday morning at 11:30 at the Salt Hill Pub to revitalize Newport. You know, please be there. And I got some return emails and some people said they would be there. And so there, but now here comes the moment. So there I was, it was about just before the meeting was going to start, I was standing at the top of the stairs with my wife, maybe 11:20, 11:25. And a thought came over me. It was, what am I doing here? I don't even live in this town. And I'm asking people who do live here to revitalize their town. And I think fear is maybe not too, anxiety might be the right word, but it was definitely a feeling, what am I doing? And now people started to come up the stairs. And so I kind of steeled myself and said, okay, but I got to do this. And as they came up the stairs and I began to greet them, some people I had known from years ago, I began to try. I just tried to make them feel comfortable and good and upbeat, and said, "Hey, it's good to see you!" And oh my gosh, this is going to be great. Knowing at the same time that I still had this anxiety. Well, said, "Hey, you know, Newport's a great town," and began to feel like, you know, things have sort of changed, and I'm trying to get a sense of where people are coming out on this, but it still wasn't clear to me. And in some ways, I was kind of afraid to stop talking because I didn't know what would happen. But I got, at some point you just got to, and I got to the end and, it went totally silent. And there was a sitting directly across the table from me was a 91-year-old, business person, an industrialist, highly respected person in town, sort of a gruff demeanor, great guy, but gruff demeanor. And, as it was silent, he said, "Okay, before anybody says a word, my heart basically said, what's he going to say? He said, "Before anybody says a word, I just want to say how terrific it is that Jay is back in town and we're going to revitalize this place." And John, I got to tell you, from that moment on, that was sort of the doors had opened. The sun was shining and we were on our way. But, you know, getting that, now, what I've just described is probably what took place over 25 or 30 minutes, but great doubt as to what was going to happen in the beginning, anxiety, some degree of maybe even fear, but pushing through it and just having confidence that it would all work out. And in the end, it did. And now we're thriving. We are in the midst of revitalizing the town, and I could not be more excited.
So. I love that. So that kind of gives us a segue into your book, because now is your book written on this particular subject of what's happened, or something totally different?
Well, there actually is a chapter in the book about Newport itself and what we're doing in the Sunshine Initiative. But really the book is it's the book American Sunshine is really a vision for America. A vision that takes us back to many of our traditional values. It says, what could we achieve as Americans if we really hit our full potential? If we could get past all this political divisive bitterness that we're going through right now and opened up our view, had a can-do, positive approach, an optimistic approach to what America could be. And it can be phenomenal. And so that's primarily what the book is about. But I will say it also has a parallel equal dimension, which I call a kind of a spiritual dimension. In other words, you'll see that the book is largely also about the power of the human spirit, you know, the power of belief, that if you believe in something and you can achieve, it can be really, really great. So you'll see that spiritual element also in the book. And then, finally, I would say that the book, it's also a fun book, John. It's got 28 chapters, and every chapter has its own cartoon.
So it's a fun,
highly readable, highly fun book. So I encourage if people who want to get it, they can find it on Amazon. It's American Sunshine, Rays of Hope and Opportunity. And by the way, even its first day out, it became a number one bestseller on Amazon. That was earlier this year.
That's exciting. I want to ask you, there's something that you say in there. It says, it says doing good while doing well. And I'm just curious what you mean by that.
I think the best way to describe that is, and I deal with this in a chapter in the book. I developed this new term. It's called modern patriotism. And modern patriotism, in a sense, is doing well and then doing good as you do well. And here's what I mean by it. Modern patriotism is got three components. One component is, the three are believing, achieving, and sharing. So in other words, believing, number one, if we can believe some of our core values and believe in an objective and really hold fast to those things that are important and that we feel are good, that we, and then step two is go achieve. There's not only an opportunity to achieve, but I think there's also an obligation to achieve. In other words, all of us have been given many capabilities and opportunities. And we have a real obligation to fulfill all that we can possibly be. And that's kind of our number one objective as individuals is let's take all of our God-given talents, everything that's been given to us and make the most of it. Make the most of it, not only for ourselves and the feeling and the satisfaction that comes from it, but having achieved, then we move on to the third step, which is the sharing. That's the doing good. And in the sharing, many people will think is simply about whatever we've been able to achieve in a material sense, we need to share with others. And that's important. There are other people who do need material help. But where I'm really going with this is that there's another dimension, which I think is even more important. And that is sharing with other people this opportunity to enjoy what I call the earned success. In other words, opportunities for other people to invest in themselves, have a chance to succeed, and then once having felt what it's like to succeed, to do that again and again and again and share that with others. So that's modern patriotism. That's believing, achieving, and sharing. And I think there's a certain magic in that because then you can actually do well by doing good. And that's really how it all ties together.
I like that. So in the midst of that you share with people, you feel like that is your biggest strength, or do you have another strength that you feel like really comes out in what you do?
Well, I think my biggest strength is actually there's a can-do, entrepreneurial, positive energy about America. And many of the founding principles of our country that you'll recognize as our core values of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, the rewarding of the entrepreneur, private property contracts, our capitalist system is all around the individual. And the individual, I believe, is really is so important for the individual to have opportunities to succeed and not be confined to conforming into groups, but the individual to reach everyone's individual own potential, to blossom, to fulfill their desires, their own great potential. That's what really does make our country so special. And that's part of why I'm so optimistic. But I also, you know, have the faith that good things are going to happen. That if you run into difficulties today, you really will be able to push through and find a bright future. And that's of all my. As I look back, I think if I can bring that strength to other people, then I've done something really good.
That's interesting. I was just thinking about, you know, in the New Testament, it talks about the gift of faith. I mean, do you think you have that as a gift?
It is a great gift to have that sort of faith. It gets tested along the way many, many times. And I don't know if you have found this or other listeners may have found this, but I have found that over time, that you mature, you develop, you see, you're able to see distinctions that you couldn't see earlier on, and that the whole journey is one that actually strengthens faith, and although it gets tested many times.
Yeah, that's funny. I used to always be or always have been about the destination. And especially these last couple of years, really had to make that mind shift of just enjoying the process and the journey. Because when you get there, if you don't enjoy the journey, you get there and it's just a very quick moment lived. And then you realize you missed out on the whole process of getting there.
Exactly. I could not have said that better, John. That's the part of that is to, I think, slow down a little bit. Breathe, take a breath. Don't be in a hurry. If you can, you know, there's some times when you feel you must be in a hurry, but try not to be in a hurry and optimize or maximize each moment. I think those are great words of advice and not always easy to live by, but great to try to come back to.
Absolutely. So Jay, I want to ask you this, you know, we're all called to different parts. We're all different parts in the body of Christ. And a lot of times I remember when I was younger, I thought that I had to be a pastor or a youth leader or a preacher or had to be something because I felt this internal struggle, obviously, to share the love of Christ with people and share the gospel. But, you know, the older I got, I realized that wasn't my calling to be a pastor, but I love business. We have multiple businesses. We do a lot of different things. And that was my passion. And I had to find where that fit in. And for you, I'm just curious, how has that fit into your life as far as sharing your faith and what God has done for you, but yet still operate as a businessman in the things that you do?
Well, I think it's something you just have to integrate into your day-to-day sort of your activities but also to think about how you want to deploy you are given some distinct individual capabilities. And I think part of the journey is to try to figure out what is the best way for you in your circumstance to realize the full potential of those capabilities. So for me, I'll give you, for instance, for me, when I, real life example, when I see somebody who can benefit from one of the things that I am doing and have a great opportunity from it, that's something that I know is going to pay many dividends to many families and many people along the way. So an example, one of our initiatives in my Newport Sunshine work is to bring to this town digital capabilities and digital opportunities that they might not otherwise be able to enjoy. And so we have been blessed that three entrepreneurial firms in New York City have volunteered to put together a training program for our town of Newport to train 20 students over about a three-month period from remotely. Students don't have to move. And some are high school students, some are beyond. We've just started it now. And over a three-month period, they will be trained in web design, programming, Java, coding. And by the end of this three-month period, they'll be certified and certified to be able to do work, digital work, from Newport for these firms that are in New York, but can also be in other places too. So it creates huge opportunities. And we're doing 20 in the first phase. We'll do 20 more, 20 more, and 20 more. It's going to really change the fabric of this town. Well, my belief in this initiative and pulling it together has actually provided opportunities for people who really, really wanted to succeed but didn't have those opportunities and wouldn't have those opportunities. And so that's something that I can actually bring to and I've had these conversations with the people who are now part of the program. They're going to change their lives. They're going to change the lives for their families. It's going to help them in a material sense, but also going to, because they're going to be able to earn money that they couldn't earn otherwise. It's going to be very important to them and their families. But in addition to that, it's going to give them the a chance to succeed and to grow and to really get that feeling that comes with it and get motivated and excited. That, to me, it touching souls like that and being able to share in that way, that's the way I can do it. That's probably the best way that I can actually have an impact. And, you know, you mentioned you had thought about being a pastor and done that. I think everyone has their own role and their own individual way of having this kind of positive impact.
So Jay, this is going to be one of my last questions, and it's always one of my favorite, depending on just what I'm able to pull out of you. But one question we never let anybody get away with is, if you could go back to the younger you, the younger Jay, what age would you go back to and what advice would you give yourself, knowing you can't change any circumstance or anything that's going to happen, but you're just going to give yourself a pep talk and some advice?
Well, I think if you go back to whether it's high school or college, but it, sort of in that time frame, that I think the view that you have at that point, I think can be relatively simplistic, that you think that you have to do things. Things are going to move very quickly, that you have to achieve right away, you try to force too many things too quickly. And in my experience, life actually lasts a lot longer. You got a lot of time.
Yeah.
and hey, that first job, yeah, sure, it's important, but it's one of maybe many jobs or opportunities you're going to have over the years. And so the worry and the fretting and all of that I think people put into some of these decisions that they think are such life decisions. You know, I just don't think the world is ending on any of those. And I think over what you learn over time is that you're going to get through it. Things are going to be fine. You got great talents. Believe in yourself, and it'll work out really to your benefit. That's my major piece of advice for others, but this would be the major piece of advice for myself. If I could go back, which I can't go back, but now having lived a number of years and been out in the world, that would be my observation.
I like that you said that. I'm actually going through that right now. I have a 17, very soon to be 18-year-old daughter, and you just see the worry, and obviously I see it in her friends that have just graduated and some coming up, just so worried about, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And And it's great advice, because it really is. You do have a lot of time. You don't have to figure it all out in the next year, and as if it like just sets the course of your whole life type deal.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So, all right, Jay, man, I really appreciate you just taking the time and coming on our show, sharing your insights and your life journey and all your accomplishments. And especially, I love that you're helping people just become better of themselves and sharing your faith and your optimism in their lives. So thank you for making a difference in our nation and the things that you're doing. So I just want to honor you for that and thank you.
Well, thank you for all you're doing, John, and love being here. And I just kind of keep this great positive momentum going.
Really. Absolutely. So, Jay, how do we find you? What is the best way for our listeners to find your book, the things that you're doing, and get in touch with you?
Two things. One is the book is easily found on Amazon. It's American Sunshine, Rays of Hope and Opportunity. I think American Sunshine will be all you need to remember there. And then if you want to learn a little bit more about some of these activities, including the Newport Sunshine Initiative and some others, please simply go to myname.us, and I'll spell that for you. So it's J-A-Y Lucas, L-U-C-A-S dot U-S, J-Lucas dot U-S. And we would be delighted to be part of any kind of conversations people would like to have.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, Jay, hold on just a second as we wrap up the show. Word Nation, I hope you got inspired. I love Jay's story about just pursuing business and becoming successful, but taking that success and the things that he's learned, and now he is just pouring out into the community. And one of my favorite things that he said was just about seeds, that, you know, that there's things in our life that we look at as maybe negative or bad. And he says, have a belief that every problem has a seed of a solution. And I just encourage you today, if there is somebody out there that you know you can make a life impact, or just even a smile to the person working at the grocery store, it doesn't matter. Be that person, be the change, because somebody around you needs it and you have the opportunity to give it. So I just encourage you today to give it. And so Roar Nation, we love you. We thank you. Please remember, share these podcasts, send it to a friend, rate and review us on iTunes. We definitely could use the help there. And it always helps us get the message out. And we love y'all. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.